Well, over this past week, the focus was largely on Jackson Hole and the Central Bankers Conference there. And we had some interesting comments from Jerome Powell, both before the conference and during it. Before the conference, he was giving the markets hope that they'd done 275 basis points in a row. We won't be doing any more of those. There'll be smaller increases going forward. And then he almost about faces, and at Jackson Hole says, we've still got a lot of work to do. We'll do whatever it takes. And by the way, don't expect these interest rates to be coming down anytime soon. So if you have any ideas that, we could be starting to ease policy at some point in 2023, that's not likely before 2024 at earliest, because it's still going to be a very, very difficult job getting inflation under control. And some of the data that came out through the course of the week, whilst it's showing that the US economy is showing some signs of slowing, and it's slowing in the most interest rate sensitive sectors such as housing, there's still some residual strength running through, and we'll see some of that residual strength when we get the data out this week. But last week, we had some housing data. There's no two ways about it. Housing in the US, rather like housing here, is now in decline. And we had July new home sales came out. They were expected to be down by 2.5%. They were down by 12.6%. That was after a 7.1% fall the month before. So a fair bit of softness running through the new home sales part. And when you look even further ahead to pending home sales, back in June, these had a whopping fall of 8.9%. They fell another 1% in the month of July. So those are looking soft. But you go to things, anything to do with the labour market, and we had the weekly initial jobless claims, which were still pretty low. They came in lower than the market expected. The market was looking for 253,000, it was 243,000. So that's still consistent with a strong non-farm payrolls report. We get that coming out at the end of this week. So still some strength running through there. Personal income, personal spending for the month of July still holding up okay. Personal income was up another 0.2% after being up 0.7% the month before. And personal spending, after having a whopping great big rise of 1% going back to the month of June, consolidated that with another 0.1% increase. So parts of the economy are still holding up. And that was true with the revised GDP we saw. GDP has been a bit quirky in the US. We've had two quarters with a negative sign on the front, but it's largely been to do with inventories and the external sector. When you're looking at domestic demand in the US economy, that's still holding up. So the GDP number that we got was revised back a bit for Q2 from minus 0.8% annualized growth to minus 0.6%. I'd expect to see these revisions taking it even further back, perhaps even past zero, and we'll get further revisions. Because inside that, you had real consumer spending, which is the bulk of the economy, and that was rising at 1.5% annualized. So when you've got that sort of strength running through consumer spending, of course, you can't really take the overall GDP reading as any signs of recession or weakness just yet. Just in terms of what we're getting this week, we're getting some more of the purchasing managers type reports. We get the ISM manufacturing PMI coming out on Thursday. That's expected to still be in expansionary territory, running around 52 from 52.8. But the big number out of the US this week will be the non-farm payrolls. And going back a month, in June, we had a whopping 528,000 increase in non-farm payrolls. The market expects still another 285,000 increase in non-farm payrolls. So job growth is still going ballistic. At the same time, wages are holding up very, very well. So we've got average hourly earnings coming out for the month of August, and they're expected to be up another 0.4%. That will actually lift the annual rate of growth in wages to 5.3 from 5.2. And the unemployment rate is expected to hold down at 3.5%. It got down to that level going back to the month of July, and that's the lowest unemployment rate for the United States since 1969. So, we've still got this very, very tight labour market. We've still got strong income growth in the US. And on top of that, We've got another feature which will probably be talked about more by people coming forward, and that is governments doing the wrong thing as far as the central banks are concerned. What the central banks are trying to achieve is to suppress demand, because we've got all sorts of supply problems still running at the moment, and some of those are going to become acutely problematic in the Northern Hemisphere autumn and winter, particularly for energy prices. You need to suppress demand. That's what lifting interest rates is all about. The way that governments are responding at the moment is far from adding to helping the central banks. So in the case of the United States, they have what they call their inflation strategy coming through from the government, which is largely to provide cost of living support payments. So, you know, this is like boosting government spending, which actually adds to the demand that the central banks are trying to suppress. Now, at the same time, if you brought that to the Australian context, at the end of this week, we have a Jobs and Skills Summit, which increasingly is looking like it's going to become a chat being almost hijacked to talk about the wage setting process and how we can get wages up by sort of encouraging industry bargaining rather than the enterprise bargains that we've got at the moment. What that implies is that, you know, we'll get bargaining at the industry level, and then that pay increase applies to whole sectors. Yeah, fine in principle, you know, we need to might want to get wages up. It's exactly the wrong time to be doing it, though, exactly when the Reserve Bank here is trying to get on top of an inflation problem. So it's these sorts of things which look fine in principle about supporting people with extra payments. We'll hear more about that in October, too. We'll get some of our cost of living adjustment and payments here, too. So we're getting ourselves into an environment where interest rates could stay higher for longer. And that, in a sense, is what Jerome Powell was hinting at in part of his speech as well. So just watching all these factors, which are serving to make it pretty fluid in terms of what the interest rate outlook looks like. Moving to one economy which is obviously not experiencing these problems, and that's China. China's going the opposite direction through its own policy initiatives, or ideological initiatives, they've almost been listed now. The economy is quite weak at present. We had no data last week, but this week we'll get their manufacturing PMI, the official versions of those for August, and non-manufacturing PMI. The manufacturing PMI is already sitting below 50, so it's in contractionary rather than expansionary territory. It was at 49, going back to July as expected. If it's lucky, it might come up at 49.2. The non-manufacturing PMI doing a little bit better at 53.8, but probably that will be softening as we run through as well. Then moving to Australia, and apart from the Jobs and Skills Summit coming up on Thursday, we've got some data as well. It's still pointing to the economy holding up pretty well. So we've got July retail sales coming out today. They rose 0.2% going back to the month of June. The market expects they rose another 0.3%, and that will be up about 9 to 10% year on year. So, you know, they really are running strongly, and we've had this move, pent-up demand. People are spending a lot on services, particularly on travel and things like that. They're still compensating themselves, even though they're a little bit worried about having to meet their mortgage payments. But we're still seeing that strength running through things like retail sales. We get July home building approvals coming out tomorrow. They're expected to fall. Certainly the housing sector is showing some signs of contraction, but it's probably the only sector of the economy which is at present. And then on Wednesday and Thursday, we get the second quarter construction work done and Q2 private new capex figures. These are contributions to Q2 GDP, which will come out just after the Reserve Bank meeting at the beginning of September, first Tuesday in September. On the Wednesday, we'll get our Q2 GDP reading. And at present, it's looking pretty strong, because we already know that retail spending was up 1.4% quarter on quarter in real terms. We know that there's been some strength running through the net export sector, and it looks as if the construction work done and private new capex, if anything, improved in Q2. So construction work done looks as if it lifted, according to market consensus forecast, by 0.8% quarter on quarter, after falling 0.9% going back to Q1. And private new capex spending looks as if it's lifted around 1.2% after falling 0.3% the month before. So, you know, we're going to have this pretty strong GDP read, which is going to sit there straight after the next Reserve Bank meeting, and is a sign that, you know, we've still got this residual strength running through demand. And this is the point, that demand has to come back. Whether we like it or not, we have to go to much weaker growth. A lot of what the government will be doing at the moment is about trying to do things to compensate to people and to support growth. And so that's where what comes up in the Jobs and Skills Summit later this week. If it is about properly creating jobs and building up skills, great. But if it becomes a hijack where it's looked at, let's get rid of enterprise bargaining agreement and go to pattern bargaining across wage sectors, which is the way that some of the government ministers are talking, that's a total disaster as far as the interest rate outlook's concerned, because that will be adding to wage growth at exactly the point where it's already starting to accelerate. And on that point, there's a new wage survey that's come out from SEEK. And what it looks at is advertised jobs and the pay in those jobs relative to where they were last year. And it's just come out with the latest monthly one, and the year-on-year on it's 4.2% and rising. A more timely indicator of wages growth suggests that wages are starting to lift pretty rapidly. Now, moving to Europe, last week, we had the August Purchasing Managers Index came out. It's starting to soften there. It's back to 49.7 from 49.8, so that's obviously into softer territory. The services sector PMI came in at 50.2 from 51.2, so it's barely in expansionary territory now. So yeah, that one's looking pretty soft. We also had consumer confidence the month of August, and that's in pretty negative territory. It wasn't quite as soft as it was the month before at minus 27.0, but minus 24.9 is certainly pretty soft. And the sorts of things that are worrying people in Europe, whilst they've had this very, very dry and hot weather, they're all looking fearfully towards autumn and winter, no less so than somewhere in like the UK, where there's been a lot of stories running over this past week about what people will be paying for their electricity and gas bills through the Northern Hemisphere winter. And as of 1st of October, it's been announced that energy prices in the UK will go up by 80%. And there'll be further increases running into April and May next year. What that implies is that the average household electricity and gas bill will run from £2,500 per year over there, which is high by our standards, to over £6,000 per year. Now, it could be worse than that. And you know, this is where you start to get talk. The UK's already got an inflation rate which is running at 10.1% year on year. They're now talking that the peak on that inflation rate will be above 18%. These are the sorts of things which are starting to creep into the market now. That's a worst case, you know, because the UK has obviously got some pretty extreme problems. But it gives you some idea of the tasks which lies ahead for the central banks. And just out of Europe this week, sort of data that's coming out, we'll see European inflation coming out through the course of this week. On Wednesday, they get the preliminary August CPI. It looks as if it lifted again to 9% from 8.9%. That's for the euro area. We'll get their unemployment rate, which is actually very, very low, down at 6.6%. And so, you know, that's keeping some pressure on wages. And we also get their producer prices. And this is, you know, the frightening one. It looks as if producer prices for the month of July were up another 3% month on month. That will lift the annual rate of producer price inflation to 37.0% from 35.8%. And of course, that's pipeline inflation running into CPIs. So at the moment, we're living in sort of fantasy land in terms of how high we think inflation will go and how central banks can get on top of this and then can start to bring interest rates down. There's some horrific frights to come over the course of the next few months. And unfortunately, government policy is going to make it worse. It's going to make the task of central banks harder rather than easier. And we have to deal with all of this in terms of market sentiment. So it's going to be a pretty volatile period running ahead. Just that jolt they got from Jerome Powell's comments to the Jackson Hole summit over the course of going into Saturday our time, that's one of many jolts which are coming ahead of us. And so need to be prepared for that as we go ahead, that this is a very, very fluid interest rate outlook now.